What's up, Oos? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me, about to get them, all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Elijah Campbell here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Streaming live on Periscope, on YouTube, and on Twitch as well. Thanks to David Ubben from The Athletic for joining us in the last segment. We'll continue the conversation on the Vols, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Weekend winners coming up at 9:30. We've got our picks for this weekend and the action in the world of sports baseball added to the table as well in terms of the options this week. So lots to consider in weekend winners coming up at 9:30. And then our Free Beer Friday trivia question coming up at 9:45 as well. So a big final hour here on the show. Joe, we were talking in the last segment about the Tennessee Vols, David Ubben from The Athletic joining us, and getting into what spring football practice looks like right now. Now, as he said, still a limited viewpoint from a press perspective on what you can see and the details coming out at spring football practice. But, Joe, just as you evaluate this roster and the depth chart, and we'll start on the offensive side of the ball because I think that's where most Tennessee fans are intrigued, probably the most, to see what happens this year with Josh Heupel taking over at the helm of that. As you look at just purely the players, what sort of shape do you think Tennessee is in from a roster standpoint on the offensive side of the ball? And when you factor in Josh Heupel and the success that he's had offensively, how do you think that marriage could work in year one for Heupel at Tennessee in this offense?
Well, if the quarterback's good, then I think there's some good things in place. If the quarterback's good, you know, and that's supposed to be one of the things he does best. So you hope that in short order that can happen, especially if it – I mean, it's not like they're going to be rolling with Caden Salter, I don't think, and trying to bring a freshman along.
It was unlikely before. It's probably way less likely now.
Yeah, so – Hendon Hooker, as that's a really interesting stat Ubben provided last segment, that Hendon Hooker ranks 12th in efficiency from last year of returning QBs. That's pretty good. You know, you got good competition there, Bailey, and maybe Maurer can really make a push. So if that position is good, I like a lot of what they have. I do have a question at running back. I mean, Jabari Small. Is he someone who can be a heavy workload guy? Tyon Evans is the JUCO guy coming in, and then you're talking about D Beckwith and T Hodge, you know, redshirt freshman. That position is a question, and it's more important than people realize probably in this offense. I mean, Josh Heupel still runs the ball a lot.
Yeah,
when things are working, it's a real tough offense to deal with because you do that well too. But I like the offensive line potential a lot, especially when you consider the losses. And still, I mean, is Darnell Wright going to take a big step as a junior? Is Ubben right and Cade Mays is going to be the left tackle? I mean, I think it makes sense given everything else because you have Jerome Carvin that you could, you know, go at right guard with, and you have Calbert, you have Spraggins, you have some pretty good depth in the interior of the line. So Cade Mays as a senior left tackle seems to make sense. He was going to play that at Georgia before he left there. So I think that could be – I know last year, a lot of hype for that offensive line.
We hyped that thing up a lot, man.
I took part in that for sure as well. That was almost Tolvanen levels of hype. But it wasn't as good as hoped. I still think a lot of blame goes to the guy coordinating the offense. And I think just the whole – production was bad and the quarterback play wasn't good enough and all that stuff, but I still like a lot of the talent they have there. I think that could be a strength of this team and one of the better offensive lines in the SEC still.
I do too. I'm interested from the quarterback side of things, if it is Hendon Hooker, you know, adding the dual threat aspect to it. I mean, he ran the ball 120 times last year. And that's not really something that Jared Garantano did very much, and not something that I think Harrison Bailey is capable of doing all that much. And look, you don't have to have a dual threat quarterback in college football to win. We just saw Mac Jones slinging around all over the field. He didn't run hardly at all. So it's not necessary to compete at a high level, but with the way that they run this offense and just how inept they were last year, where you didn't do anything all that well, having that added element, if it is Hendon Hooker, of him coming in and maybe being able to add something in the running game to bail you out of some trouble every now and then, that could be huge. Like, I think that's something, if you're a Tennessee fan, that you would be very excited about if Hendon Hooker ends up being the quarterback.
Yeah, and how much would you, if it's him, like how much design stuff would you go to as well? I mean, Mac Jones, very good player. He's going to get drafted maybe really high, but it also helps when you don't have to move in the pocket. You
Correct.
Know? I mean, so Drew Chester just came in here.
He's not going to come bursting through the door.
Yeah. I don't want to offend any Mac Jones lovers. He's a good player, very good player. But I think having some element of the run at quarterback in college or pro is pretty important. I mean, Ryan Tannehill here, people don't think of him that way, but I think of him as someone who has that element, and maybe not for stuff you're designing for him ever, of course, but still a guy who can take a broken play and make something with it.
Just got to work on those landings and the ability to slide a little bit.
Yeah, they showed that replay again from Buffalo. My gosh.
Could have been brutal.
Oh,
we're talking Gus Frerotte-esque injury. Gosh,
very good reference. Oh, very good Gus Frerotte reference, Elijah. Very good.
At C Northside 85 on Periscope says, I'll be honest, I'm not so much worried about the offense as I am about the defense. There are so many question marks on that side of the ball. And you look at the depth chart for Tennessee defensively.
We're trying not to talk about it.
They're going to need some help. They're going to need some work. That to me, number one, is the biggest question with Heupel anyway. Like, what's his defense going to look like? Can you play defense at a good enough level to compete in the SEC? Just from the way he coaches, the style, all that stuff. But then you factor in the depth chart right now, and they are pretty thin defensively.
I feel like Ubben's a little higher on those corners than you are.
I'm not very high on those corners.
That's not bad, though, to bring back Alante Taylor as a senior. And, I mean, that's coaching. I mean, I feel like if they take a step, they could be pretty solid there. But, of course, the last coach that was, like, his career was coaching defensive backs. So
yes.
maybe that doesn't speak as well of them. Like, there's a couple guys in this defense that I really like as players. Like, I really like Amari Thomas. If he's in great shape and has a great offseason, I think he could be a player up front and a guy who gives them what they haven't had enough of at all in recent years, which is, just disruption and, a problem for the other team. And I like Tyler Barron a lot, too. I think Tyler Barron could be a heck of a player. You know, both those guys got a fair amount of snaps as freshmen. But, yeah, like Ubben was saying, I mean, it's Banks, and right now his two is Aaron Beasley.
Yeah.
And inside linebacker, I mean, some of those guys coming back maybe helps you a little bit there, but that's a real issue. I do like the safety group maybe as much as anything with Trevon Flowers, Theo Jackson, and like Jalen McCullough. That's not bad.
Yeah.
So.
Not bad.
There's some
there
guys.
There are some position groups that are not bad on that side of the ball.
Yeah. I mean, there's some guys. Denico Slaughter is around. Yeah. He did, showed some things.
Great name.
A little bit. Great name.
Great,
I mean,
football
it's not
name.
Complete,
that is a football name.
It's not completely barren. It's just that Tyler Barron needs more help. See? You see that?
There you go. At C Northside 85 on Periscope asks, if Heupel is able to coach this talent up and get to a bowl, what does that say about Jeremy Pruitt?
I mean,
I think we know what it says
we'll
about
keep,
Pruitt.
Don't worry. We'll keep ripping Jeremy Pruitt. We'll bring back
Jeremy
Pruitt.
That's one
Pruitt
of my favorite
quotes.
Things to do.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I think – I thought the question was going to be, what does that say about Josh Heupel? And I would say that'd be encouraging if he can do that in his first year. Still,
I feel like a bowl game should be very much on the table in terms of possibility. I mean, your non-conference schedule is not very difficult, quite frankly. I mean, it's just not. Now, the Pitt game is a little worrisome. I think if you're a Tennessee fan, But I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility to go 4-0 in non-conference.
Well, that's the game. That's the swing game.
Yeah.
And, you know, they've lost some guys. Narduzzi's a good coach. They play good defense. You can probably count on them having a good defense. I think their QB comes back. That's the swing game. And if they get that one, then I agree. They've got a solid chance of getting to a bowl game. But what are the SEC wins you're seeing? So you still need to win two.
I mean, the first two that jump out to me would be South Carolina and Vanderbilt.
Both,
I mean,
at home.
Those are the first two that jump out. Now, other than those, I think you're going to have a tough time. Like, Ole Miss is going to be pretty good, at least offensively. They're going to be pretty good. You still got Alabama. You still got Florida. You still got Georgia. I mean,
Kentucky, as crazy as it sounds.
Well, I mean, they just hammered you last year. I know your quarterback threw them two touchdowns.
Yeah.
But – I mean, it's just one of those things. I think if you had to look at it, the two I feel the best about would be Vandy and South Carolina.
Yeah. Maybe Missouri. Maybe Kentucky. You know, it could be Tennessee-Vanderbilt. Tennessee-Vanderbilt for a bowl game.
Could be.
Like it was at the end of 2018, right? Yes.
Yeah.
So, which is about right. I mean, I think Vanderbilt could maybe be there in position to – to be playing for a bowl game.
Really? In year one under Clark Lee?
I think it's possible. Look, the one thing that Vanderbilt, I mean, Ken Seal's coming back. I like him a lot. They still have good backs. I think some pretty decent offensive linemen coming back. Yeah, so the interesting thing with him, of course, is, you know, with Heupel, we're like, okay, well, he'll get the offense going, right? So with Clark Lee, obviously he's a defensive guy. How much will that matter? I mean, Derek Mason was too. I don't look at that roster and say, yeah, they're going to get a bunch of stops this year. But maybe that first-year bump makes a big difference there. Their schedule.
Do we know if he's going to be calling plays defensively?
That's a good question. And I don't know if that's – I honestly don't know if that's been asked. I don't know the answer to it. ETSU, see, you got at Colorado State. You got Stanford coming in here. You got UConn. You know, I mean, in the SEC, again, like South Carolina is one of those games you look at. Mississippi State, I mean, they should have beat them last year.
Crazy, you know? Pirate year two.
Yeah, the Pirates coming in here.
Mike Leach takeover tour begins year two.
Yeah, it would be impressive for them to be at 5 going into the Tennessee game. It's possible, but it would be
a heck of a job.
Yeah, it'd be a heck of a job.
Would Mississippi State, would that game count as a Mike Leach revenge game, considering he never got to actually accept the job that was offered to him at Tennessee? Would that count?
Well, this is Vanderbilt, Mississippi State.
Play. Wrong one.
So
misheard.
But
that's anything
down counts. The road at some point.
Oh, yes.
Sure.
Yeah, absolutely it counts as a revenge game. Come on.
It could be the Mike Leach and John Curry revenge game.
That's right.
John Curry tweets something from Wake Forest.
That's right. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation on the Vols, also transition into Preds as well. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. And speaking of the Predators, 1025 The Game and T-Mobile have teamed up to help you continue the tradition with a hockey home gating party, and it's time to text into the game line at 615-737-1025 for your chance to win the T-Mobile Hockey Home Gate. You can watch a weekend Preds game with a Dos Equis prize pack, which includes a case of beer, dessert from Nothing But Cakes, a T-Mobile prize pack, and food provided by 312 Pizza Company in Germantown. Just text the word HOCKEY to 615-737-1025. That's HOCKEY to 615-737-1025. Now to enter, the winner will be contacted on Thursday, and you must be 21 or older to enter. So make sure you get your texting fingers ready to go and text in HOCKEY to 615-737-1025. We will be right back. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025 The Game. It's time to save cash fast with Nashville's Best Deals. Go to thegamenashville.com and click on the Nashville's Best Deals banner to get half off a $20 gift card from Grain and Berry in Hillsborough Village. Grain and Berry is Nashville's superfood cafe where healthy meets delicious. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Elijah Campbell. I said Elijah.
Elijah!
Sounds like you almost threw an L in there.
It was like, that was a little Roger Goodell, Marcus Mariota slip up right there. That was good.
Or if Elijah and I combined in a 2-on-2 basketball game, we could be Elijah. That'd be something.
Oh, that would be. That'd be the only reasonable name for the team. Elijah.
Little Gus Macker action, the three of us in the tournament.
I mean, if we
need to get in shape.
If we were making a Gus Macker team out of this lineup here, it'd have to be the three of us, right? Well, it's if Willie wants to play or not. Yeah. If we could get Willie's 3-and-D.
Yeah.
But
Gus Macker teams are four.
Oh, people. Then we're fine.
You have a reserve. Yeah.
So, there we go. We have rotation set. Like, yeah. I'm not coming off the bench. Against anybody.
Yeah. You don't want to come off the bench?
I'm not coming off the bench. There's no ego here.
It might be me coming off the bench.
Could be. We'll see.
I could be a player coach.
Lots of defense in the Gus Macker tournament. You've opened our eyes. We had some people texting
in. Blood baths in the Gus Macker.
I bet there have. We had some people texting in yesterday and commenting on Periscope about either the Gus Macker tournament itself or different versions of the 3-on-3 basketball tournament that they participated in nationwide. Like one guy commented about being in the military. He did one there, like a Gus Macker tournament somewhere, like randomly in Iowa. Like it was. It's a big thing.
Actually, I meant to do this too. Just to look and see. Yeah, here we go. www.macker.com is the official site. So they've got one in New Mexico, for example. They've got one in Norwich, New York. Rochester. Whoa, they're all over New York. So you just never know. Maybe Gus Macker will get down here. I can revisit my younger days.
There you go.
It's fun.
That's right. We were talking Vols in the last segment, talking about expectations for Josh Heupel and company. In year one, let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Josh from Jackson, Tennessee says, don't forget, we actually have a legit defensive line coach with a lot of talent returning on that defensive line as well. What do you think of the defensive line talent coming back? And now that Jeremy Pruitt is no longer there to be both the head coach and the defensive line coach, how big of a difference do you think that could make as they move forward?
Well, I think it'll make a difference to not have a head coach who swaps out his assistants every 2 weeks.
Yes, that's probably a good strategy.
Now, Heupel has been totally the opposite of that. And look, who knows? When you get to the level of being an SEC head coach, it gets a little more difficult maybe. But that was a problem. A lot of talent. Like I said, I like Amari Thomas. And I think it's a solid group. You talk about three seniors in Matthew Butler, Daryl Middleton, Latrell Bumpus. It's amazing to me that Aubrey Solomon continues to be in Knoxville.
The true definition of Vol for life.
Yeah, he's had quite a run there. So I think it's not bad. I think there's some pretty good players in there. And again, sometimes you see guys as seniors really take a step. I think Thomas, if they can get the most out of Thomas, I really like his upside a lot. I think he's a pro.
I think so, too. I think he's got a lot there to work with. Now, that's another thing. Like, we talked about when Jeremy Pruitt was hired, you know, one of the big knocks on Butch Jones was, yeah, you can get the recruits, but the development just wasn't there. I do think in areas not named quarterback, we did see some development from Jeremy Pruitt. And his staff, the problem was when you don't develop the quarterback, everything, it's a domino effect on the rest of your roster. And that's what happened with Tennessee. And eventually that offense got to a place last year where it couldn't do anything. I mean, you in today's college football world, you've got to get at least into the mid to high 20s when you're scoring points, at least to compete. And generally, it's going to take more than that. And they got to a place where if they got out of, you know, the teens, you were like, whoa, this is a big offensive breakthrough for Tennessee today. I don't expect that to be the case with Heupel. Like, maybe it's not immediate, and maybe it takes a minute to get there. But I do think you're going to, like, get yourself into the modern-day version of a college football offense under Josh Heupel. We'll see how effective they can be running that offense. The expectations have changed not only for Tennessee, but for everyone defensively. Like Nick Saban has talked about this. You used to win games by running the ball and playing good defense. And that's just not the formula in college football anymore. You've got to be able to score. We saw Nick Saban adapt. We saw many coaches around college football adapt. Can your defense get to a place where it just doesn't kill you out there? I mean, they had almost zero pass rush. It was kind of amazing. The parallels last year from that standpoint, from Tennessee's defense
to the Titans, although it wasn't quite as bad as the Titans. But there wasn't great pass rush last year. Can you find some guys that can affect the quarterback if you're Josh Heupel?
Yeah, and, you know, I agree with – I do think that Jeremy Pruitt over a long haul would have demonstrated to be a better developer of talent. But even with Butch, I mean, they haven't had anybody
– Derek Barnett.
Like Derek Barnett, you know, since he left. And he had some difference makers like that. I guess overall, I would say it's disappointing to see from Pruitt's arrival to now the defensive back upside that we've seen, you know?
And agreed.
I do think that Bryce Thompson, we'll see. I actually had the Titans taking him in the seventh round. But, you know, that's about where he is. He's a low pick slash, you know, undrafted free agent who I do think is good enough to be on a team. But I would have thought when those guys were freshmen, like Ubben mentioned that earlier, that they would be better now than they were. So does that mean their ceilings were just lower than we thought, or did Pruitt not do as good a job as we thought?
Yeah, that's going to be an interesting question. Maybe we'll begin to find out an answer to that this year. Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texture that says, talent, we were one of the worst teams in the SEC, and then most of the best players transferred out.
Yeah, we opposing viewpoints on the talent of Tennessee.
We're not saying that this team is like, you know, the 2019 Alabama Crimson Tide rolling out there.
Yeah, it's not as – I think it's exactly what Ubben said. When you think about who left – you think, oh, my gosh, this is a talentless roster that Heupel is taking over, and I don't think that's true. You know, I think it's – the idea is to, can you get to a bowl game? I think there's enough there for that to happen. And I don't know – you know, this defense, let's say best-case scenario, you get some of these seniors playing their best ball, you figure out something at linebacker, you know, you feel okay about your secondary – that means that you can get stops against the teams that you need to beat. You know, can you get some stops against South Carolina and Vanderbilt and Kentucky? I mean, this defense isn't lining up against Alabama and doing anything next year.
No.
They're probably not doing much against Georgia or Ole Miss next year or Florida. But at least can you be good enough to win some of those lower-level SEC games that you have to win to get to a bowl game?
When we come back, it is time for Weekend Winners here on Robbie and Rex Road. We've got some games to pick coming up next, both against the spread. Got a little college basketball action, a little hockey action. I might throw in a baseball pick or two in there as well. All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And it is that time of the week, time for Weekend Winners here on Robbie and Rex Road. Now streaming live on Periscope, on YouTube, and on Twitch as well. So you can watch this magical segment that's about to take place right in front of your very eyes. We appreciate those of you who are joining us on those platforms, as well as those of you listening on traditional platforms as well. Joe Rex Road, a hot competition right now in Weekend Winners between the three of us, myself, yourself, Ryan Porth, Elijah Campbell in the mix today as well. Give us a quick standings update on where this competition sits now, a few weeks into the battle here in Weekend Winners.
I would just like to say to all of you, and I apologize again to all of you who took me at my word on the over-under of UCLA-Michigan State when I said under. I would like to point out that I went 3-0 in my college basketball picks last week.
Nicely done.
For a 4-2, unfortunately, I picked the Preds to lose both games to Chicago, and they won both.
They did.
So 4-2 with my lock for 5. Ryan Porth went 5-1 with his lock. His lock was the over on Alabama-UCLA only. Because of that buzzer-beating three, does he come close
yes.
to the over? But he did, and he gets the lock, so 5-1 for 6 points. You had a tough week, 2-4, 2 points. So right now, first place, I'm there at 18-12 with 23 points because I'm 5-0 on my locks. Porth has a better record, though, 19-11, 22 points, 1 point back. He is 3-2 on locks. You are 14-16, 16 points, 2-3 on your locks. So you're still within range. You need a big week here.
Got some work to do on that front. So without further ado, let's get rolling today here on Weekend Winners. Elijah Campbell picking for Ryan Porth today in the competition, although Ryan Porth has provided his picks. We begin with you, Elijah. The Predators taking on the Chicago Blackhawks on Saturday. The Predators looking to bounce back after a tough loss last night. Now, this is a money line pick, so just straight up picking the winner and the Predators and the Blackhawks. Elijah Campbell, who we going with?
Looks like Porth is rolling with the Blackhawks here.
Ooh.
In this game.
Going off the table. So Ryan Porth selecting the Chicago Blackhawks in this competition. Joe Rexroad, the Predators and the Blackhawks tomorrow. Now, you picked the Blackhawks twice this last weekend. You going back to the well, or are you changing your mind a little bit?
I feel like Porth may be playing chess and I may be playing checkers here. But after disrespecting the Preds last weekend, I know they're banged up. I know Chicago needs this game, wants a little payback here in Nashville, but I'm going to go with the Preds.
I am also going to go with the Nashville Predators. And I did say in Call Your Shot Friday that I picked them to win 4-2. So when I've thrown out a specific score, I've got to stick with it. Give me the Nashville Predators. Getting back in the win column tomorrow against the Chicago Blackhawks. Moving ahead to the men's Final Four, Gonzaga, a 14-point favorite against UCLA in this matchup. I will start on this one. Give me Gonzaga and make it my lock. I think Gonzaga is going to destroy UCLA. Quite frankly, I think UCLA's gotten a little lucky to be here. I think they're about to be in for a rude awakening in this game against Gonzaga. Give me Gonzaga minus the 14, even though that's a gigantic spread. Elijah Campbell / Ryan Porth, which way are we going in this one?
Porth, like you, is going to take Gonzaga minus 14 and predict that UCLA will get what I like to call George Mason'd.
Yes.
That is falling back to earth pretty heavily in the Final Four.
Joe Rexroad, Gonzaga minus 14 against UCLA. Mick Cronin, a magical run to the Final Four. Which way are you going?
Give me the Bruins, baby.
Yeah.
I will take two touchdowns. I think this game will be a comfortable win for Gonzaga. I'm counting on a little backdoor cover, bad beats, little walk-on action, maybe hit a three. Gonzaga wins by about 12 points. But I think the Bruins cover. I think the Bruins keep it together longer than some people think with their defense. Eventually, they're not going to challenge them at the end. But I love two touchdowns in a basketball game.
Hey, that's been a pretty comfortable margin of victory for Gonzaga all season long, so we'll see. Moving ahead to the other matchup in the men's Final Four, Baylor taking on Houston. Baylor, minus 5 is the spread in this game against Houston. Joe Rexroad, we begin with you. Which way are you going with this one?
Kind of the opposite way. I think this actually will be a close grinder rock fight of a game. And I think in the end, Baylor will pull away and cover the 5 points. So give me Baylor.
I am going with Houston in this. I think Houston covers the spread. I think we're going to be in for a nice defensive game here. It's going to come down to the wire. Baylor hits a late three-pointer to win the game, but Houston will cover in this matchup against Baylor. Give me Houston in this. Ryan Porth / Elijah Campbell.
And it looks like Porth is rocking with Baylor to cover the 5 points as well.
Not much love from Houston from Ryan Porth.
You got a chance to make up ground.
That or really get behind.
or that. That's possible.
Could be a really deep dive off the deep end here if this goes the wrong way. All right, now we get to the portion of weekend winners. We make our own picks. There is no set schedule here in this competition. Ryan Porth / Elijah Campbell, we begin with you. Which way is he going with his first individual pick?
We'll go ahead and start with what looks like his lock, and that is Lightning minus 1.5 against the lowly Detroit Red Wings.
Yes, I like that.
Guaranteed!
The Lightning had been struggling as of late, but they got back on track last night, a win against the Columbus Blue Jackets. So poor selecting the Lightning minus 1.5 against Detroit as his lock. Joe Rexroad.
That game is what? I just want to read the day. That's
Saturday.
Saturday.
Yes.
Okay.
So, Joe Rexroad, your first individual pick of the week is what?
Like I said, Arizona disrespected, not in the Final Four promotional video.
That is disrespect.
UConn is lucky to be here tonight, and UConn against Arizona in the Women's Final Four, minus 13.5. I really like what I saw from Arizona the other night. I think Arizona covers the 13.5, loses in a close game. No, I'm sorry. No, they're winning.
Yeah, you've already
said it.
What
am I talking about? They're winning.
I've already called
a shot. God. Yeah, give me Arizona and make it my lock.
Oh, going lock.
Guarantee.
Arizona plus 13.5 against UConn. And Joe Rexroad a step further, saying they win the game outright. His hatred against Gino Auriemma continues. My first pick is going to be in the National Hockey League. The Colorado Avalanche taking on the St. Louis Blues tonight. Avalanche minus 1.5. Avalanche just put up 9 goals the other day against the Arizona Coyotes. They are clicking on all cylinders. Blues have been struggling a little bit as of late. Give me the Avalanche minus the 1.5 against the St. Louis Blues. Joe Rexroy, would you like to begin the second round of individual picks here on the program?
Yes, but I will say on these hockey picks, and this may be separate from the bigger picture, you guys have been terrible in the hockey picks this year. Have you noticed that?
Yes.
Like they've just – and it's just like it's just no rhyme or reason to it.
Well, the spread makes it difficult because you can either – they can win by one. Maybe you're relying on an empty net goal. I don't know. The 1.5 is difficult.
I'm just saying I'd run away from the hockey if I were you guys.
I feel pretty good about this one.
Okay. I mean, it makes sense. Yeah. Like, both of these picks make sense. Okay, I'm going to go also tonight's second game, South Carolina-Stanford. Stanford minus 6 against South Carolina in the Women's Final Four. I am going to take those points because South Carolina is going to win this game outright. So I'm taking both underdogs, not only to cover, I'm taking them both to win.
I like it. Joe Rexroy.
SEC, baby.
SEC homer Joe Rexroy here on the program, taking South Carolina in the Women's Final Four against Stanford. Elijah Campbell / Ryan Porth, the second individual pick.
We're going to head to the diamond after a pretty tough opening day loss for the Dodgers against the lowly Colorado Rockies. He's got them covering 1.5 on Friday, today actually, covering 1.5 against the Rockies as the Dodgers bounce back.
So the Dodgers favored by 1.5 in this game, Ryan Porth has them covering the spread. I'll also go baseball with my second individual pick. Give me the Oakland Athletics minus 1.5 against the Houston Astros. I don't think Houston's going to be all that great this year. I think the descent for the Astros begins now, and it starts today against the Oakland Athletics. Oakland minus 1.5 against the Astros. Baseball expert Robbie Stanley here on the program.
Just to make sure, so that's today?
That's today.
And the Blues-Avs game is?
Today.
Also today. Okay.
That's correct.
Thank you.
The final round of individual picks, Elijah Campbell / Ryan Porth, we begin with you.
We're going to go to Joe's favorite baseball division, the AL Central, where Indians are taking on the Detroit Tigers in Detroit after the Tigers won on snowpening day. Ryan likes the Indians to bounce back. Money line on the game Saturday.
Okay. We're going to have a conversation with Ryan Porth about
the money line.
The money line? I thought we had made this very clear. Apparently we have not. We got to get rid of the money line when we got spreads on the table.
Yeah, if there's spreads, you got to go.
But we'll let him do it this one time. Although Detroit Tigers, quite a victory yesterday in Snowmageddon in Detroit to begin the season 1-0.
And this is Saturday, right? They don't play today?
Correct. Yeah, I don't think they play today.
Exactly. So Saturday, we'll do some internal discussion about that one.
I may have to just root for the Tigers now.
I am going back to the NHL well, taking the Washington Capitals today against the New Jersey Devils. The Capitals thumped last night by the New York Islanders. They give up 8 goals. That tends to make a team mad. I think they come back tonight. They respond in a big way against the New Jersey Devils. Give me the Capitals and Peter Laviolette, minus 1.5 against the New Jersey Devils. Joe Rexroy, your final selection in the individual picks here on Weekend Winners.
Grizzlies tonight against the T-Wolves. The T-Wolves are terrible. The Grizzlies are in a playoff fight. Grizzlies minus 6. I love that line. Give me the Grizzlies.
Joe Rexroy doing the NBA route and selecting the Memphis Grizzlies tonight. I like it.
5 of my 6 picks are basketball.
I usually include an NBA pick as well. I went away from that and did MLB this week. That's probably like I could absolutely see an 0-for-6 week coming for me. So we'll see what happens.
Are there lines on college baseball?
Not that I've seen. I'm sure they exist somewhere if you just look hard enough. But I have not gotten that shovel out and dug.
And pick Vandy?
Well, I mean, with Jack Leiter, I mean, if there was a line on like Jack Leiter on the mound against LSU tonight, I'd jump on that, whatever
I would
it
do.
Is, probably.
Yeah.
They won 13-1 with Kumar Rocker last night.
That's right. Just total destruction out there on the mound. That is today's edition of Weekend Winners. Good luck to you, gentlemen, and good luck to everyone listening this weekend in the action in the world of sports.
Bad luck to Porth.
Bad luck to Ryan Porth because he took the easy way out and took the money line in the game between the Indians and the Tigers. When we come back, we will have our Free Beer Friday trivia question. Also wrap up the show as well. All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rexroy here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And they were singing like this. Why don't go in Frisbee's episode? Put my soul between the bone. Now Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Elijah Campbell here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. I can see the tears streaming down Rex Road's face. No Luke Combs to begin this segment, which he is just really, quite honestly, so happy about.
Telephone bills up my sleeves. What a great jam. Thank you, Elijah. You found a part of the song with no bad words. Good job.
That's right. I definitely double-checked the lyrics. I had to Google that. But I said earlier in the show that I've never heard that song. I haven't dug that far into
kind of a
discography.
Jam.
I have heard that song. I just didn't know that was what it was called or that it was by.
Yeah. The back. Real beer can.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have it some of that, Porth.
It is a jam. That one's good.
Yeah, absolutely. So it is time for Free Beer Friday here on Robbie and Rex Road. And with that, it's time for our Free Beer Friday trivia question for your opportunity to win a $25 gift card to Bavarian Beer House located at Opry Mills Mall. Elijah's going to have the trivia question here in just a second. If you know it, text into our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. The first correct answer will win the $25 gift card to Bavarian Beer House located at Opry Mills Mall. Without further ado, Elijah Campbell, I turn it over to you for today's Free Beer Friday trivia question.
You already know that I had a Final Four question.
Oh, I knew.
Up my sleeve. And this one, because of Gonzaga making a little history, I'm going to make it Gonzaga-themed. Gonzaga is the first team since this team to win their first four games in an NCAA tournament by at least 14 points. I can't remember if it was 14 or 15, but at least 14 points. Winning their first four games, first round, second round, Sweet 16, Elite Eight. What is the other team to do, or the last team to pull that off?
So if you know the answer to that question, text in to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. The first correct answer will win a $25 gift card to Bavarian Beer House located at Opry Mills Mall. Joe Rexroad, do you even have a guess for this question? You don't have to give the guess. I'm just asking.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to blow it. Say it again.
All right. Gonzaga is the first team, the first team since this year and team, to win their first four games of an NCAA tournament by at least 14 points.
Okay. So, quick point of clarification. Do they need to give the year that this took place or just the school?
I'll accept school.
Okay. All right.
Because I covered a team that won a national championship. It's not them, though, so I'm not blowing anything.
I was about to say, what are we doing?
Well, yeah. But I probably shouldn't even be eliminating answers. But they won all six by double figures.
Well, that would just require someone to know which team you covered. So there's a little bit of research involved there as well.
Well, yeah, but I mean,
not everyone knows, Joe.
No, but I talk about it a lot.
I know.
I got some good stories from back then.
I'm sure you
do. Yeah, they won every game by double digits, but it was not by 14 or more.
So we will keep you updated on the trivia question Elijah Campbell has thrown out there. Keep it going. We've already got a lot of responses on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe Rexford, we had Terry Crisp on earlier in the show talking about the Predators, a tough loss last night, 4-1 against Dallas. And I said it to him, and that's really the way I feel about last night's game. Like, sometimes I think you've just got to tip your hat to your opponent and say, all right, they played a really good game. They did exactly what they wanted to do and executed their game plan perfectly. I thought Dallas last night played just about as good of a road game as you can play, especially when you factor in their style that they like to play. I thought the Stars were really good last night. The Predators tried to answer back. They played well at the end of the first period, but just execution-wise, were not on the same level last night, and Dallas took advantage of it.
Well, I agree. This happens. I also think after watching the two games here with Dallas and the way they played, that I think they might be the fourth team. In fact, I might make Dallas the favorite to be the fourth team.
Really?
Yeah. Maybe I'm overreacting. They've had an unbelievable run of things that have gone wrong for them. But I was really impressed. And that's Dallas Stars hockey. And we'll see if they can hold up through all these makeup games in a very condensed schedule. But the bottom line is they've got four games in hand on the Preds. They're 5 points back. Like you said earlier, it's huge for the Preds to come back in the first game and get, because this easily could have been 4 points for Dallas.
Could have been bad.
So it was huge, but it was also huge last night for Dallas to respond. And I think that might be the two teams that really separate themselves if the Preds can, you know, can bounce back here and get their own people back healthy.
And it was not all bad news for the Predators last night. They did get some help out there as well. Chicago loses basically in like the last 30 seconds to the Carolina Hurricanes in regulation. So no points for the Blackhawks last night. Columbus loses to the Tampa Bay Lightning. So the Predators, even though they lost, still remain in the fourth spot in the Central Division at the moment. Now them and the Blackhawks tied at 39 points. So Preds taking on Chicago tomorrow at home. That's a big one. Going to need to win that game, and preferably in regulation if you're the Predators.
Another interesting thing about this Central Division is we all believe Tampa Bay is the best team, and it's a team you don't want to see in the playoffs. I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibility they could be the 2 or 3 seed. You know, right now they got 52 points. Florida has 52, and Carolina is at 51 with a game in hand on Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's possible you get in as the 4 and you don't have to deal with Tampa Bay right away. Now, it's not like you feel great against the other two teams either, but I would feel like you'd have a little bit more of a chance.
Well, and the thing is, Tampa Bay, they look good right now. They're about to have Nikita Kucherov coming back in the mix as well.
Ridiculous.
Which is like, oh, okay. Just adding a former leading scorer back into the lineup as well. So
that's fair.
That'll be fair. That'll be fun to see when Kucherov comes back in. Elijah Campbell, do we have an update on the Free Beer Friday trivia question? Do we have a winner?
We finally have a winner. There was a ton of guesses on the early UNLV team, 93-94 UNLV team. That team might have done it, but it wasn't their most recent one.
89-90.
Nope. It was 2004. UConn is the answer to the question.
Yeah, I'm saying, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm talking about UNLV was a little earlier than that, but whatever.
Yeah.
UConn 04 with Emeka Okafor.
Yep. And
with
Josh Boone, Ben Gordon, Hilton Armstrong.
Which, if you were listening to the show, you kind of gave a preview for that earlier
this week. I'm seeing how well we're listening because was it yesterday or today that I did that? I can't remember.
It was yesterday.
Yesterday. Yeah. Yesterday, I dropped that one in there. So.
On purpose.
On purpose, yeah. Wow. I'm playing 3D chess here, fellas.
I was going to say, that's even better than playing chess. That's like that's like online gin rummy you're playing over here.
John from Nashville.
John from Nashville is our winner.
The winner on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. John has won a $25 gift card to Bavarian Beer House located at Opry Mills Mall.
And that team beat Georgia Tech in the title game. Am I right about that?
Beat the hell out of a Jarrett Jack-led Georgia Tech team.
Jack.
Their only close game was the semifinal, the Final Four against Duke.
Yeah. So maybe some foreshadowing for UCLA Gonzaga coming up this weekend.
And that Duke team had
that was like J.J. Redick's freshman or sophomore year. He was really, really young.
But they had the guy, he played for the Bulls. He was the one year he played for Duke. Who was the like Australian big for Georgia Tech?
I don't know. We'll figure it out during the break.
Luke Schroeder.
We can't keep talking about this.
No,
come on. I don't want the weekend to come. I want to know the answer.
Luke Schroeder is
today here on Robbie and Rex Road. Darren Donick and Chase is coming up next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.